From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Congress tries to spend even more money. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is in hot water as state attorneys general confront Biden's mask mandate. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. This week, nearly every House committee has held marathon sessions to consider amendments to the Democrats' massive $3.5 trillion spending package. On Thursday of this week, Congressman John Joyce of Pennsylvania, who is on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, joined Tony Perkins to talk about his committee's progress.
Congressman, welcome to the program.
Tony, it's great to be with you today.
Okay. Describe for our listeners and viewers what happened in the Energy and Commerce Committee session this week.
Well, these were long markup sessions, and it was my honor to stand with fellow Republicans under the leadership of Kathy McMorris Rodgers, where we stood for the Hyde Amendment and ultimately for the sanctity of human life. Democrats tried to use this markup as a way to force abortion into health insurance plans. I'm a physician. That's my training, and that's what I practiced for over 25 years. And they did not realize that Democrats didn't understand that 60% of Americans agree with the Hyde Amendment. This is common sense legislation. And even in the past, Joe Biden agreed with it for most of his career in the Senate. This legislation, the Hyde Amendment, has been part of the budget for the past 40 years. As a physician, I took the Hippocratic Oath, first to do no harm, but also to defend life at every level. And so by forcing this debate on the amendment in the middle of the night, because they know that their position is unpopular with the American people, and they want to ram that in to this $3.5 trillion piece of legislation. This was a way that the Democrats, very calculated, wanted to force abortion into health insurance plans.
I think people need to understand the significance of this moment. As you made reference, the Hyde Amendment has been a bipartisan rider on the appropriations bill for nearly 40 years. Both parties have agreed. Maybe they disagreed on the substance of abortion, but they agreed that taxpayers and Americans shouldn't be forced to fund something they're morally opposed to. This is a new day. That's not even being considered by the Democratic Party.
The Hyde Amendment, to your point, Tony, and spot on, prevents your and my tax dollars from being used to pay for abortions. And so in the wee hours of the morning, the Democrats forced that into this reconciliation. It was such an unfortunate event to be part of this markup, to realize that this was occurring right in our face. And we discussed this. This was part of the discussion Kathy McMorris Rodgers, the Republican leader, brought into it, the sanctity of union life. I spoke to it as a physician, understanding that our responsibilities are to protect life. And yet the Democrats threw away the tradition of 40 years of not allowing federal tax dollars to be used to support abortions. We have a responsibility to protect human life, and that occurs on a federal level as well. This was a compromise that has been used for over four decades to not allow taxpayer dollars to support abortions.
Congressman Joyce, has there ever been a more pro-abortion bill advanced in Congress than what is being pushed forward right now?
Not to my knowledge. The Hyde Amendment protection has always been there, and it is gravely disappointing that the Democrats do not respect the sanctity of human life.
Now, beyond the life issue, which is quite significant, quite frankly, and I'm glad the court is looking at that upcoming in the Dobbs case, but we're talking $3.5 trillion. Was there any hesitancy about what we're doing to the economy and the debt that we're amassing as a nation?
Not on the Democrat side. And you make an excellent point. That debt is no longer just for our children. That's for our grandchildren. And incurring debt and not taking the responsibility as legislators, we have a responsibility to be stewards of the taxpayer dollar. And this reckless spending, which amounts to initially $3.5 trillion and will go higher, this reckless spending must be addressed. And yet the Democrats are turning away from that. They're promising everything at every level. This cannot continue to occur. This will have ramifications today, tomorrow, and into the future.
I mean, when you look at the numbers, okay, numbers don't lie. When you look at the economy, you look at the unemployment numbers. I mean, you go back just a few years with the American Jobs Act, when we actually cut taxes, when the Trump administration cut taxes, we saw people lifted out of poverty. We saw jobs created. We saw the economy humming. We're doing the opposite now. I mean, why is there any thought that we'll get something different than what we have right now? High unemployment, inflation, high prices. I think most of the American people don't understand what's driving the Democratic-controlled Congress.
And that Democratic-controlled Congress is allowing inflation to continue to spiral out of control, which is another tax on individuals. Biden said he's not going to tax anyone who makes under $400,000. But with increasing costs for food, for gasoline, for energy, that is a tax that he is not taking responsibility for. We're seeing this occur under the Biden administration and under the Democrat-controlled Congress. They have to step up and realize that we are turning our backs on the American working class people. This is not the time to be doing this. This is a time to allow innovation and control and restraint to come into the picture.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Tony, we're not seeing that in Washington from the Democrats.
Not at all. Not in the least bit. Congressman Joyce, we're talking about the issue of abortion. This is the most pro-abortion administration in history. Of course, last week, the Department of Justice filing suit against the state of Texas for their heartbeat bill, which would simply says that after a heartbeat is detected, that an abortion cannot be obtained in most cases. The same day is when President Biden unveiled his vaccine mandate, denying Americans a choice as to what to inject into their own body. But at the same time, the same day, arguing that a woman has a right to take the life of another human being. I mean, should Americans, be even possibly contemplating that these decisions are being made by science? To me, it looks like it's all about politics and power.
And it's unfortunately what we're seeing is we're seeing an oxymoron and a distraction from the real issues that are at hand. We need to come through this pandemic. We understand the importance of vaccines. I'm a physician. That's my training. But we as Americans still have freedoms, and every individual has that right to decide whether a vaccine is right for them. And yet we're looking in Washington at allowing individual liberties to continue to be removed. By executive order, Biden put that in for companies that employ over 100 individuals. We're seeing a grave backlash on that in Pennsylvania, throughout the United States. Individuals still have the rights that are guaranteed to them by the Constitution. Those freedoms must be upheld.
As a physician, Dr. Joyce, do you think this is going to have the opposite reaction of what is desired here, more Americans being vaccinated? Do you think this is actually going to drive down the vaccination numbers?
I think time's going to tell. What we're looking to see is it's a spot in the courts and felt to be unconstitutional. A mandate like this by executive order should not be enforced by Biden and his administration. There will be court battles, and I think they will be successful.
All right. Congressman Joyce, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate
Tony,
your fight on Capitol
thanks
Hill
to be
for
with
the
you today.
All right.
God bless you.
Thank you. Congressman John Joyce of Pennsylvania, a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, which is the committee that takes in all the abortion-related issues. It's actually probably the most significant committee on Capitol Hill in the House. There's so much that comes into that committee. And so it's great to have strong pro-life members that are a part of that committee arguing for the sanctity of human life and other things, quite frankly, that come before that committee. Again, I want to encourage you to be in prayer for where our nation is at. Last night we had a great pray vote stand program. And if you missed it, you can go back, go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can catch that. But we talked about the vaccine mandate and the significance of this issue right now. We also talked about the issue of religious objections to this and how people can exercise their rights when it comes to this vaccine mandate. So anyway, go to TonyPerkins.com and you can watch that. All right, don't go away because more Washington Watch is coming up. We're going to be joined by Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama. More fallout from the revelations that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs was having communications with the Chinese behind the back of former President Donald Trump. What might happen? We're going to talk about it next with Congressman Mo Brooks. Don't go away.
Join us for FRC and FRC Action's inaugural Pray Vote Stand Summit. We'll address issues such as protecting the unborn, the importance of the nuclear family, domestic and international religious liberty, developments in our nation's education system, and more. Join us at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia from October 6th through the 8th for the Pray Vote Stand Summit. Register online at prayvotestand.org/summit or by calling 877-372-2808.
Have you ever tried to read the Bible daily but struggled to get in a groove? It can be hard, especially if you don't know where to start or how to understand and apply what you've read. Or maybe it's just that doing it alone has made it too easy to give up. Well, let me encourage you. You don't have to do this daily discipline alone. You can join Family Research Council's Stand on the Word 2-year Bible reading plan. Let's stay grounded in God's truth and grow closer to God together. Sign up today by visiting frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, General Mark Milley. He is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is the president's top military advisor. He's in the spotlight again. Now, you may remember only a few months ago when he sparred with Senator Tom Cotton over critical race theory indoctrination for service members, yammering on about white rage and such. You know, those comments, which were shocking, now make sense, quite frankly, in light of a soon-to-be-released book by Bob Woodward. We talked about this yesterday. CNN had an advanced copy. And according to these reports of this pre-release of the book, it's called Peril, last year, General Milley, without then-President Trump's knowledge, promised China's top military leader that if Trump ordered a military strike, Milley would give him an advance warning. Now, the reports aren't 100% confirmed yet, but Milley hasn't denied them. Some lawmakers are insisting that Milley must testify before Congress, and if the reports are true, he should lose his job, at least, if not tried for treason, in my view. I'm here to say more about this, Congressman Mo Brooks. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Alabama, and he is a member of the House Armed Services Committee. Congressman Brooks, welcome back to the program.
My pleasure.
Okay. Just, you know, let's start at the beginning. Explain to our listeners why this behavior of General Milley is, quite frankly, unacceptable.
Under the United States Constitution, the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief. And the President is Commander-in-Chief until the next President of the United States is sworn in. So to the extent that General Milley was stating to anyone that he would not obey a direct lawful order of the United States of America's president, our commander-in-chief, then that is insubordination for which he should be discharged. Now, we've got Bob Woodward and others who are trying to make a fast buck off of a book, so it would not surprise me if their information was embellished. If it's not true, what we need to have in Congress are hearings in which General Milley testifies, and he either confirms or denies the reports that are in Woodward's book. And whether he confirms or denies, of course, will have some impact on how this plays out going forward. But let me emphasize one thing. Joe Biden, once he was sworn in January, became our commander-in-chief. General Milley will only be disciplined if his superior officer, our President of the United States, decides to discipline him. Having said all that, I think it's only a matter of time before General Milley either resigns or is terminated by the President of the United States, if for no other reason than to try to deflect blame for the debacle that occurred in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly does not look good on his record. But yesterday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reacted to the leaked passages or the pre-release of the book. And this is what she said the president said about Biden. Milley. Play clip number six, please.
President knows General Milley. He has been chairman of the Joint Chiefs for almost 8 months of his presidency. They've worked side by side through a range of international events. And the president has complete confidence in his leadership, his patriotism, and his fidelity to our Constitution.
Congressman Brooks, the substance of this, you're right. We don't know this is true yet, but Milley did not deny it yesterday. Beyond the shocking substance, is even a longer-term concern that I have of the politicization of our nation's military. I mean, there's already everything else in Washington is so divided and partisan. The military, for the most part, has stayed above that fray. Some not so much so in the Obama administration, but. I mean, are you not concerned that this could take the military to a new low?
Well, no question. There are parts of the federal government that have been politicized unlike any before. You've seen it with our judicial system, where the socialists want to put in as judges individuals who will immediately disobey their oath of office, which is to defend and protect and promote the United States Constitution. Socialists want judges who will insert their own view of what the law should be rather than what the law is. And you're seeing that same kind of attitude filter over into our Defense Department with critical race theory, wokeism, white privilege, all that kind of racial division stuff, raising its ugly head to an unprecedented degree in the United States military, where we're supposed to be colorblind. And it's not just critical race theory, it's a number of other things that are unfortunately becoming standards in the United States military, and that's going to hurt our nation's security long term. But that's what the Democrats are doing.
Switching gears just a bit, I want to get your take on the reaction from some in the military to the vaccine mandate. There are those that have sought to raise the issue of a religious exemption for this, which is being denied. Members are leaving the military. Is this something that we should be concerned about?
Absolutely. Our men and women in uniform fight to defend the United States of America. They have fought for liberty and freedom for more than two centuries. And to deny our military members the very same thing that they have sacrificed so much for, liberty and freedom, is wrong. Now, we've got two bad choices. The vaccine is a bad choice. Getting COVID-19 without the vaccine is a bad choice. There are significant risks associated with taking the vaccine, including death. There are Americans who have died from taking the vaccine. The other choice is not to have the vaccine, and of course, there are significant risks associated with that should you get COVID-19. Everybody sees on a regular basis the number of people who have died solely because of COVID-19 or where COVID-19 is one of many multiple comorbidities. Given the seriousness of this type of decision, one that involves life and death, you would hope that the military would defer to the good judgment, the liberty and freedom of the military servicemen and women who risk their lives on our country's behalf.
Right.
But for whatever reason, that is not what our Commander-in-Chief, Joe Biden, wants to do. That's wrong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Congressman Brooks, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Have a blessed day.
All right, you too. All right, folks, stick with us. On the other side of the break, the Attorney General of Ohio, Dave Yost, joins us to talk about what the states are doing to push back against the broader vaccine mandate. That's next.
More than ever, Christians need to be grounded in the truth of God's Word and be prepared to articulate them. That is why Family Research Council has launched the Center for Biblical Worldview. By applying the Bible and the historical teachings of the Church to a wide range of relevant issues, including voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, and sexuality, the experts at the Center have provided resources to help Christians live by a biblical worldview. To access the Center's free resources, go to frc.org/worldview.
With text censorship on the rise, we've increasingly seen the cancellation of conservatives and Christians. At Family Research Council, we want to be proactive about making sure big tech doesn't completely silence us. We want to stay connected with you, and so we've created a text subscription platform. You can get FRC's content straight to your phone by signing up for our text alerts. Just text STAND to 67742 and be the most informed person you know.
Welcome back. I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, the website tonyperkins.com. All right, we're talking about the vaccine mandate for those in the military. Well, as you know, last week, President Biden announced his unconstitutional overreach with a vaccine mandate for pretty much the whole country. I mean, it's for anyone, any federal contractor, any person working in the federal government, and sticking his hand into the private sector. Companies with 100 or more employees. Now, he's going to use OSHA to enforce this. Employees who refuse or who don't submit to a regular costly test could be fired. And businesses who refuse could face crippling fines. Now, there are several states that are gearing up. Yesterday, we talked to the Attorney General of Arizona. They've already filed a lawsuit. But the Buckeye State, under the leadership of Attorney General Dave Yost, they're gearing up for a fight as well, and he joins us now. General Yost, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's good to see you.
All right. What are you doing to prepare to defend the businesses and the people of Ohio against this Biden overreach?
Well, we're obviously preparing for what the president said he wanted to do, which seems to me clearly beyond his authority. But it's important to know that we don't have a regulation yet, so we don't have anything to bring to court to sue about. You can't sue over a press release. Now, that being said, I suspect that there are multiple grounds that could be raised here, starting with the fact that Congress writes the laws, not the president. He doesn't get to govern by dictate. And beyond that, health is not really the issue. That's not a power that belongs to the federal government at all. Throughout our history, health issues have been considered to be part of the police power. That belongs to the states and not the federal government.
What do you think the prospects are? I mean, there's over a half the states that are ready to fight this. What do you think the prospects are for the states in court challenging this mandate?
Look, I think they're excellent. Some of the things that people have been talking about, you know, on background and comments that you see float, I'm sure you've seen them floating in the Washington press corps and everything. They kind of get that they're not allowed to do this. They're just counting on it taking too much time in the court system to be able to actually get there.
Yeah. And that's disturbing because that's not just in this case. That's done a lot of times. They know they don't have the legal authority, but they do it knowing that it'll be in the courts forever. And they're just hoping that the courts won't stay it, meaning they won't keep it from going into effect. And by the time it actually gets to court, people will have forgotten about it and become accustomed to the overreach.
Well, that's the strategy. And I suspect that when we actually have a regulation we can take to court, me and the other attorneys general that will be working on this are going to ask for a stay or a temporary restraining order so this doesn't go into effect. Right now, it's not in effect. If your employer asks you to roll up your sleeve and take the jab, they're not doing it because of the federal mandate, and don't let them tell you they are. Now, if it's their policy, that's a separate issue, but they're not doing it because they have to. There is no federal law today. And of course, I should mention that the federal employees are under the control of the president. It's pretty well established that he has the ability to set terms and conditions of employment subject to certain limitations.
Right. But going into the private sector, that's a whole new area.
And, it is.
And we're already seeing, you know, the disruption in the supply chain. And I know Ohio is, you know, part of that, a lot of manufacturing, cars, steel, all of that. Shortage of employees. When you have people who are saying, look, I'm not going to do this, and they're fired, they're terminated, they go on unemployment, it only shortens the workforce that's out there and only further disrupts the supply chain.
That's right. And if this were to go into effect, it would wreck the economy, because I know that there are people who will choose to become unemployed and stay out of the workforce rather than submit to this edict. That means the labor shortage is further exacerbated. I know people right now here in Ohio that are not accepting new contracts, not doing business that they have the opportunity to do, simply because they don't have enough of a workforce to be able to produce the goods or services.
You know, one thing that's not being talked about in the media regarding this action by President Biden is how much, more than any other president, he's been using executive orders to accomplish his agenda. Now, they were critical of President Trump, but he left President Trump way behind when it comes to the use of executive orders.
And here's the thing. Executive orders are meant to determine the conduct of the federal government, not to control the general population. The difference between a democracy and a monarchy or a dictatorship is that in a democracy, laws have to be written by a representative body, Congress or Parliament. In a monarchy or a dictatorship, one executive decides what the rules are and they enforce them. That is just fundamentally opposite our constitutional order.
Excellent point. General Yost. Out of time, I want to get you back on to talk about what you're doing in the state of Ohio to fight the critical race theory in the classrooms there, that indoctrination that's taking place across America. Always great to talk with you, General Yost. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.